And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Let's finish the show with WVXU reporter Jay Hanselman, who joins us from a secure location. Jay, how are you?
I am doing well, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. Long time no see, man. This social distancing is taking an impact on all of our work relationships. I'm used to seeing...
I'm sure you're just as heartbroken as I am.
Well, you haven't lost a bit of the snark, I'm glad to see. I was just going to say, what I've missed the most is your disapproving gaze as I'm rushing into the studio with just minutes, seconds sometimes to spare before that red light goes on. So that I do miss. But you're still hard at work, of course. This is some very serious news that we are trying to cover while keeping a sense of humor as best we can in these little crises. But the first thing I want to talk about is the streetcar. Can you help us out with understanding what is happening with that this week? So, like, at the beginning of the week, the mayor and the health commissioner ordered the streetcar system to stop passenger service. And now there are newer developments on that?
Right. On Monday, the health commissioner and the mayor signed an order that the streetcar would stop operating as of end of service on Monday. So its last day running was Monday. In between Monday and now, what has happened, there was some argument about, did it make more sense to just mothball all the streetcars, let them sit and do nothing with them? Or, as Transdev had proposed, that's the company that has the contract with the city to actually handle the day-to-day operations, they had suggested it made more sense to let them run without passengers, maybe once a day, twice a day, so that they can keep all the certifications in place, so that when it comes time to begin passenger service once again after this health crisis is over, it could be cheaper if they keep a skeleton crew now to keep them running as opposed to pulling them completely out of service.
Okay, so when you say run without passengers, that does mean the loop, right? So we would see them around downtown?
You could see, I would assume, all five streetcars maybe once a day going around the loop to keep them in operation, so that it's more about testing and certification and things that they have to do to make sure that they're functioning. So they would be doing those minimal things so that when it comes time to put them back into service, they'll be ready to do that.
What's the difference between the streetcar and say, buses in this current environment? I guess in terms of the health concerns.
I think that they seem to think that there are more people being served, and I'm speculating here. I don't know that it's been fully addressed, but I think that they're comfortable that the safety precautions and the sanitation that the Metro operators are taking with the buses, and there are more people that use the Metro buses right now than the streetcar, that right now is the risk that they're willing to take. Although Mayor Cranley did point out that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had said that if you could avoid public transportation, it was probably best to do so.
And I had heard some of the press conference or the most recent conversations from the mayor, and it sounded like he wasn't ready to talk long-term about streetcar stuff at this point. Is that correct?
Right. I think there was some, at least there was one column this week that this was the perfect opportunity to permanently shut down the streetcar, as some have been calling for. And the mayor did not take that bait. He said this had nothing to do with, the permanent closure of the streetcar. Right now it was to deal with the public health crisis.
Okay, so we've talked all week about some of the budget concerns coming out of Cincinnati City Hall. Hamilton County also has some concerns, as do governments across the country now, with this sudden economic sort of shutdown. I believe the headline that you wrote most recently about both was that the economy turned off like a spigot. That's a quote from someone. But you also wrote that the Museum Center is turning to the county for help. What kind of help does the Museum Center want?
Well, as you'll recall, in 2014, Hamilton County voters approved a quarter-cent sales tax increase to fund the renovation and repairs at Union Terminal. Ironically, the collection of that tax stopped just Tuesday. That's when that tax expired. Now, county residents may be saying, well, wait a minute, I was paying 7% sales tax on Tuesday, and I'm paying 7% sales tax on Wednesday. What happened? Well, the Union Terminal part went away, but last year the Hamilton County Commission extended that tax to fund the county's general fund budget. But anyway, long and short, the fund that was being used to renovate Union Terminal has about a $20 to $25 million reserve, and that was by design, that if the project required more money, it would be there. The county had always intended at some point to turn that money over to Union Terminal and the Museum Center to help with future maintenance and preservation. And now, since that funding is sitting there, the Museum Center is asking for an advance of perhaps $7 to $10 million so they can pay off some construction related expenses and free up operating cash so they can basically survive until they can get the Museum Center back open.
And there could be a vote on this next week?
Right. The county administrator briefed the commission on it yesterday. They have to have the county lawyers look at it to make sure that that's an appropriate use of those funds. But assuming that that comes back that it is an appropriate use, then the county commissioners could vote on it next week.
Has there been any expressions of support from those elected leaders?
County Commissioner Driehaus spoke, and again, her inclination was that as long as the lawyers say it's okay, she would be fine with it.
We're going to see some work being done by the Ohio National Guard at the Duke Energy Convention Center because they're turning it into a hospital, basically, as part of this pandemic we're going through. What's the plan here?
So essentially, the Ohio National Guard would come in and set up a temporary hospital in the exhibit space, the main exhibit hall of the Duke Energy Center. Mayor John Cranley said on Wednesday, I believe it was, that it will have at least 550 beds. It could go higher. And basically, this would be a sort of a step-down facility. So if it's used at all, the most critical patients who might have COVID-19 symptoms would still be treated in the emergency or with the ICU rooms at the regular hospitals, but as they recover and get better, then they could be transitioned to hospital beds at the Duke Energy Center. And it could also be used to house people who have other illnesses or medical problems not related to COVID-19 to keep them out of the main hospitals. They would perhaps treat them at this temporary hospital at the Duke Energy Center.
And this is something that I guess would just be available for the duration of this?
Correct. I think the mayor indicated that it would take about 2 weeks to have it set up, and that kind of times with some of the projections that the peak hospitalizations could be occurring in the second week of May. So, right, the hope is that it would never have to be used, but if the bed space were to be needed, it would be available at Duke.
Is there any talk about other facilities that could be transformed to house patients if necessary?
There have been conversations, perhaps, that they could use local hotel rooms, which right now are essentially vacant because people aren't traveling. And there's also some talk that dorm rooms at the University of Cincinnati, maybe Xavier University, could also be used because college students have been sent home for online learning, so those dorm rooms are also available if they need the space.
And so we just mentioned that both the city and the county are facing some economic challenges at this point. We heard a lot about a number of jobs that are going to be temporarily, ideally for these folks, temporarily furloughed at the city. But what's happening at Hamilton County?
So far, Hamilton County has said that they're not ready to talk about furloughs or layoffs. They, too, like Cincinnati, are seeing sharp declines in their revenue sources. Particularly for Hamilton County, it's sales tax revenue and also money from the transit occupancy tax, which is the fancy term for the hotel motel tax that are charged for room nights in Hamilton County. They're monitoring it. They've implemented a hiring freeze. They are not issuing any new county contracts, and they've asked offices and departments across the county to prepare for 20% budget cuts, but to this point, they have not said that there would be furloughs or layoffs. So the county administrator, Jeff Aluto, indicated on Wednesday that some departments, the only expenses they have are employees. So it could be very hard for some departments to make 20% budget cuts without impacting some employees.
Well, you know, Jay, back in the old days when we could all meet in a room and talk about the news ahead, we would discuss, you know, what's on the council agenda, what's on the commission agenda, and decide how to cover it. I'm wondering, what do those agendas look like going forward? Is it all coronavirus related?
There are some things that are still being done. I know the county commission had their regular meeting virtually yesterday. And there were regular agenda items that were approved. The interesting thing was there were several spending items, though, that were taken off the agenda because of the looming county budget problem, they thought that it was best to at least hold some of that spending to now and try to keep it in check as best they can till they know what's going to happen.
That's WVXU reporter Jay Hanselman. Hope to see you again soon, Jay, and I also hope that you're well-stocked on Pringles for the duration of this.
I have plenty of Pringles.
Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder, and the technical director is Rick Andres. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. Don't forget, we are looking to hear from you. Give us a call at 513-419-7100. Leave us a message or click on the Talk to Us button inside the WVXU app. We want to play some voicemails during some of our upcoming broadcasts about anything you're feeling right now during all this. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Michael Monks.